Beyond the headlines. This is World Insight.
Hello and welcome to World Insight. I'm Tian Wei. Chinese President Xi Jinping met with German Chancellor Olaf Scholz on Tuesday in Beijing. Xi Jinping stressed the importance of cooperation among major countries. He says that the world's second and third largest economies, China and Germany's relationship, transcends the scope of bilateral relations. It has an important impact on the Asian and European continents, as well as the entire world. The chancellor wrapped up his three-day visit to China, accompanied by some of the biggest names in German business. This is his second visit to China since the year 2022. The trip happened as China is Germany's biggest trading partner for the eighth year in a row in 2023, with over 5,000 German companies operating in China. This year also marks the 10th anniversary of China-Germany comprehensive strategic partnership. As a bellwether of EU-China cooperation, could summit diplomacy between Chinese and German leaders be a leg up for China-EU relations? What are the top takeaways from Scholz's visit to China? It's time to loop in our panelists. I'm glad to be joined by Maximilian Bouquet, who is the executive director and board member of the German Chamber in East China. Good to see you. In Oxford, Matteo Garavaglia, research director from the Center for China-EU Relations with the School of Social Sciences and Tsinghua University. And also in Beijing, Cui Hongjian, professor with Academy of Regional and Global Governance with Beijing Foreign Studies University. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for the three of you joining us. I want to start with you, with Maximilian. Now you have been meeting with the visiting German chancellor in China. Tell me more about what has been his feedback about his trip.
Indeed, I could meet the chancellor yesterday, and I was positively surprised how well-informed he is about the Chinese market and the German business in China, and also how important the Chinese market is for us when it comes as a supplier market, a demand market, but also an innovative place for us to be. He seemed to understand that quite well. You know, he came to a time where our companies are quite uncertain about many things. There is the weakness in the Chinese market, but also there are global tensions. And he gave us the impression that he is on our side and that he understands what business needs. And be it, for example, when it comes to the EU tariffs, which are in discussions, where he gave us a clear sign that he will make himself strong to keep our markets open because that's what we need.
You have been working with many German businesses in East China, and you have been in China for years. So tell me more about what exactly is the nature of China-German business cooperation in China, especially where you are, East China, Shanghai included.
Actually, I work with German companies in whole China, and I think the story is always the same, that they understand that the market is quite fast and that there is a lot of speed going on into the market and that they have to adapt to that. And they also benefit for it. Most of the German companies say if they want to be competitive on the global markets, they have to be competitive in China. And that's what they're working on. We are a strong believer in innovation, and those innovations have to be in partnerships. So we have to open up a little bit our both systems, the Chinese and the German system, so that we can find good solutions, right? The Chinese are very strong in digitalization, in data management, in artificial intelligence, in building platforms. And German companies are very strong in product quality, in innovation itself. And there are, of course, joint ventures where we could utilize these potentials, not only in the automotive industry, but also in the manufacturing and the chemical industry and the electronic industry.
Regarding the visit by the German chancellor, Mr. Cui, you have always been an expert in strategic study. So he is coming at a very critical juncture, not only about China-German business relations, but also China-EU relations and the role Germany could play. And at the same time, we see quite turbulence regarding some of the regional conflict. So how do you see his visit to China is more enriched by all the latest development?
I think on the different levels, certainly, there will be some mutual demands for both two sides. For example, on bilateral level, I think Chancellor Scholz tried to continue his exchange and engagement with China after the first time with it by himself. On regional level, we can find out both two leaders, I mean, Chancellor Scholz and President Xi, they try to look for some more common grounds on some difficult issues, including Ukraine and also Middle East crisis and some other. I think it shows the real context for this strategic partnership. For the future, both China and Germany, they could take some more responsibilities, even at a global level. As you know now, it's a time full of uncertainties and instabilities. I think both China and Germany, we need to get some more joint efforts.
Mr. Bukit, if you look at the statement being put out, the readout from the Chinese side regarding the meeting between the German Chancellor and the Chinese President on Tuesday, you would find a tremendous amount of the paragraphs being devoted to the two conflicts, whether it's Russia-Ukraine or the issue of the Middle East. So how do you see the business interest and interactions between the two countries vis-a-vis the other strategic and geopolitical issues? Here, I have not yet mentioned the relations between China and United States, and both are seeing Germany as a partner.
The position Germany has towards all the conflicts quite clear, right? We are asking everyone to calm down and go into negotiations. And of course, the business is quite influenced by geopolitical tensions now, which is quite new for us in the state. So of course, when Scholz comes to China, this is one of the major parts besides the business relations we are having that we get aligned also in the political perspective.
Mr. Garavaglia, your observation.
I think there is two parts in terms of answer. One is a quid pro quo there. On the long term, on the strategic term, I think the relationship in economic terms between Europe and China and Germany and China is far more likely to blossom if from the European side there will be a perception that China is using its leverage in political terms, for instance, in the conflict in Ukraine. So that's where a political opening can give us an economic opening. On the other hand, there's another challenge that is more a European challenge. Germany came and Chancellor Scholz came to China fairly united with a clear purpose, I would say. However, within Europe, there are divisions in that respect. You have the German position, but on the other hand, countries like France, the Netherlands, Italy, Spain, for a variety of very different reasons, have taken a much more critical approach. And Germany will have to resolve that disagreement with its own European partners.
Mr. Bukit, even within Germany, there are different views about China. For example, the earlier policies regarding China has been partner, competitor, and even systematic rival. Of course, China did not agree with that nature, which were in the German document. So how do you see Germany is within itself reconciling the different perspectives about China and also, of course, between Germany and other European partners who are all having their own different sets of priorities?
I think the majority of Germans, they are not really too much involved into that, right? So we only can speak here about the business community. And there are some companies which are heavily exposed to the Chinese market. So, of course, they have a different opinion about China than those who are not in China at all and only see Chinese companies as competitors on the global markets, right? So, and I believe that the democratic dialogue in Germany is also okay. It's good that different parties can exchange their opinions. At the end, it counts what's then the measures will be, right? And there we can see that German companies, those being in China, are very committed to the market. And 90% of our companies say they will stay in the market. 50% say they will invest further. And that's what counts. And also, I believe that Chancellor came to China with a quite clear message. Decoupling is out of discussion.
Mr. Cui, also from China's perspective, there has been demands about further opening up the market. There has been debates about the so-called overcapacity issue. And yet we see that the German investment in technologies, for example, regarding EVs in China, has been increasing. And they're also creating partnership with their Chinese counterparts regarding EVs and beyond. So how do you see this very jammed discussion about priorities, problems, vis-a-vis realities, such as that your German counterpart just mentioned?
I think that the China-Germany relations we need to get some more efforts to help its reconstruction, because we need to get a balance between the different concerns, different priorities. Especially now, we can find that different from the past. Now, the German side is trying to reduce the influence and also even the percentage of economic and trade cooperation in the relations with China. And the German side tried to raise the issue more and more about the so-called security and the value or some other. But I think now it will take some more time for both sides to get familiar with this new situation and to get a consensus on a new map, a new format for these relations. But at the same time, I think that for some concrete issue, including the overcapacity or some other, I think the value of this visit and also this face-to-face exchange between two leaders will give a very, very big opportunity to help the both sides to have the right understanding and to avoid any misunderstanding. Because, for example, for this overcapacity issue, from Chinese perspective, it's not an issue of so-called subsidies. It's not the issue of overcapacity. It's an issue of now, because China has more and more competitiveness in some area, including e-way. So now the European side is not so familiar with this new situation. So we need to get a new, maybe cooperative, model to help both the sides to understand the new situation. Another one is China regarded this progress in the e-way as a result of its innovation. So once European side gives some, more protectionism attitude towards any kind of this new situation, it will destroy this environment and also the basis for the further cooperation. So I think now, maybe not only now, and for the future, we need to have this frequent exchange to avoid any kind of misjudgment and also mistakes.
Mr. Butek.
I believe that most of the CEOs in Germany see the answer quite clear how they can handle these overcapacity. And the answer is by becoming more competitive. Yeah, this is out of question, because even though in the theoretical case that we close the European markets, we are still dependent on the global markets, right? And looking at the global south, etc. So we have to be able to be competitive in order to win our desire to continue our business globally. And that's what the companies are doing. So the discussion is more on a political level. And you know that most of the German OEMs made a clear statement they are against these probes. They want the European market being open for the Chinese OEMs, because we want to keep our opportunities here in China open.
Let me go to other aspects of China-German relations. China-German financial cooperation has been very important, not only for the two countries, but also for the larger picture. We understand this time there's also important events being held by the two sides on that. What do you think are the takeaways from those events and also interactions?
On the government-to-government mechanism, we have this high-level financial dialogue almost every 2 or 3 years. And on this regard, both two countries need to get some more, as we know, synergies of financial policies. And we need to get some, even sharing some, judgment or some analysis on this international financial situation. And also, not only, I think that it's also the cooperation or exchange between two currencies. As we know, as the biggest economy in Europe, Germany shoulder, the bigger responsibilities to help the stability and even the growth of euro in the international financial market. At the same time, also, the RMBs, we call the internationalization of RMB, become a very, very clear target for China to help its economic development and also to provide a more stable, support for this international financial system. So I think this cooperation or exchange on financial issue and in some currencies cooperation become very, very valuable. As we know now, Germany become one of the major partner with China to have this, abroad debt market of RMB or some other. So once we have some more stable and favorable environment, I believe this cooperation between China and Germany on financial issue and also on between euro and RMB will give us some more potential.
Another issue is the foreign direct investment in China, especially from Germany. Mr. Buchet, there are more than 50% of the German businesses that they say they are committed to invest in China. What do you see are the sectors that they are continuing, and how do they see the prospect?
I believe that we see a restructuring of the Chinese economy, right? Away from the property sector, rather to high quality growth. And those industries mentioned by the Chinese government and focusing on are a quite good match to the German industry profile, right? New materials, high tech, upgrade manufacturing, etc. So this comes with a lot of opportunities for our companies. Nevertheless, this also means a lot of new competition, and that's why 80% of those companies investing into Germany, into China, say that they investing to remain competitive. And that's something new. As in the past, they rather invested to grow further. Now they invest to remain competitive.
How is that going to be translated in their actions and the way of doing things?
We need to get faster, right? We need to be faster in bringing innovations to the market. We have to be more cost efficient. We have to target the requirements and demands of the Chinese consumers better and faster. In the automotive sector, we have to develop way faster than we do it for multinational companies. So these are areas where we have to localize more into the Chinese market to become more competitive.
And how do you see, you know, the desire of the multinational companies from Germany vis-a-vis small and medium-sized companies in Germany regarding China, for example?
China became also very complex. And from a regulatory framework, from a compliance perspective, and of course, for the pure investment you need into the country. So we see that the large, medium-sized companies are still investing, but for small companies, it's getting more and more difficult to get into China and find a competitive advantage.
What about for the European businesses, generally speaking, Mr. Garavaglia? And how much do you see Germany is having its advantage among all its European counterparts now in doing business with China and also in China?
Some of the challenges are mirrored. Some of the German challenges are European challenges in the sense that the regulatory framework and business practices in China are viewed as rather complex from a European perspective. So you have large transnational, multinational companies that do enter the Chinese market, but medium and smaller companies struggle and are much more hesitant to enter the Chinese market. So this will be certainly a question mark and something that we'll have to look at over the coming years and to see to what extent the environment will be facilitating more the entry within the Chinese market of medium and smaller size companies. That is, and this is something that affects not only German industry, but all of European industry. The other issue a little bit, I think that has to be looked at is this transition of the Chinese economy and how that will impact Europeans. The way in which the Chinese economy is likely to shift and moving towards a higher end technological competition and focus will be handled in different ways if we're thinking about the German and Dutch approaches, for instance, compared to the approach that France and Spain will have, because they do come from different industrial bases. So this is a question, again, that Europeans have to address in their own internally in order to have a structured relationship with China.
Having said that, though, Mr. Cui, of course, the Chinese businesses, when they're going to go to Germany and Europe at large, they also want to have a fair environment. According to the latest readout about the meeting between the Chinese president and the German chancellor, the Chinese president suggested China will stick to the opening up as the basic national policy, but also hope Germany will provide fair, transparent, open, and non-discriminatory business environment for Chinese businesses when they are going to Germany. Now, how do you read this sentence out of the statement from the Chinese side?
Now, maybe for the requirement from outside, especially from European side on China, is China should continue its opening up and reform policy. China should give some more confidence to the international community that China will be one of the most active market in the world. But I think the similar question for European side is also, you know, recent years to be more, you know, worried about it's a issue of competitiveness and even some more competition from China or some other emerging economies. Undoubtedly, European side imposed more and more protectionist measures in a mostly unilateral way. Also, you know, not only on this investor screening system or some, you know, restrictions on export, mm-hmm. on trade or some other. So I think now for both China and Europe, what we need to do is, yes, China will insist it's a policy for opening up. China will have some more market access. But now the question for Europe is, Europe should not go back to the past, should not, you know, have some more protectionism issues. Okay. Otherwise, it will give some more problem for the confidence, especially for some Chinese investors and companies.
Mr. Butek.
First of all, every Chinese company invested into Germany is a German company. So there cannot be any discrimination. Probably the president's referring to topics which relate to national security, etc., when it comes to electricity grids, networks, etc. But Germany's economy is highly export dependent. So we need open markets, and we know we cannot find open markets if we close our own markets. And this is the complexity we are in. But I believe that we all know we only will solve that with negotiations to make our challenges clear, to make them understandable, to also build another level of trust, which might have lacked over the past years. We will not win if we simply close our markets, and as at least Germany doesn't have interest. But that's also then the complexity of the European Union, that there are many member states, and also there needs to be an alignment within.
Before we go and wrap up today's conversation, tell me, what do you think are the major takeaways?
Tongji University has historically been a university that focused very much in terms of international relations on the relationship between Germany and China. So that is not a coincidence, even if the whole talk given by the chancellor was in German, which might have been challenging for some of the Chinese participants, maybe. I think this goes towards a renewed effort to try to facilitate exchanges. I think that what China did a few months ago in terms of proposing a waiving of visas for certain European countries for short-term visits, I believe up to 15 days, it's a good sign. It goes in the right direction for both tourism and business, and it facilitates things. Where I think we should try to focus also is to promote long-term scholarly scientific exchange, because that is what buttresses then the relationship on the long term. And there, again, I think we went from one extremely open approach to a rather more restrictive approach on both sides, the Chinese and German one. And we, again, have to find some sort of healthy middle ground.
Mr. Cui.
Even now, it's still difficult for both sides to get everything done. But the basis and also the consensus is so valuable. So any kind of engagement dialogue could be encouraged.
Mr. Butek.
I believe it was a very good sign that he came, and also that he brought three ministers with him, right? The Minister of Environment, of Food and Agriculture, and of Infrastructure, which is strong indication that he sees the German-Chinese cooperation on a way broader level than just on the state heads, right? And I've met also some of those ministers today, and they are also open to find cooperation and to find opportunities. Where can we actually work together? Because we know all the challenges, we know we have to discuss that, but we also have to find opportunities and also topics where we have to work with each other in order to solve them, right? Energy, environment, food, medicine, etc. So I believe the best outcome we can see is really that there is a common trust regained to a certain extent, that mm-hmm. dialogue formats could be discussed and aligned on. And I believe that this was very successful in this regard.
Thank you so much for the three of you joining us. Maximilian Putek, Matteo Garavaglia, and Cui Hongjian. Appreciate it. And that's all the time we have for today. I'm Tian Wei. On behalf of my team, thanks for being with us. Bye for now.